It was 1 week ago today that 15-year-old Jalen Freiberg shot four of his classmates at Marysville Pilchuck High School. Two of them died. Freiberg shot and killed himself. People are asking why. 15 years ago, after the school shooting at Columbine, journalist Dave Cullen tried to answer that same question. It took him 10 years. And in the course of his research, he discovered that many news outlets made mistakes in their rush to explain why, and that people still believe those false reasons 15 years later.
Perhaps the biggest, worst, most insidious myth of Columbine is that the killers were targeting particular people, that they were targeting jocks, that it was a revenge against the jocks for bullying them. Outside, Eric Harris at Columbine literally shot at everything that moved, completely random. They had no intention of targeting people. Yet, 15 years later, that is still the myth that almost everyone believes about Columbine.
Dave Cullen told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel that false stories like that can have far-reaching consequences.
Well, the problem is that once we create myths, there's really no taking them back, and particularly myths that explain the why, because that is really the question we are all so frustrated by. Why is this happening? And we have this burning desire to know why. So once a narrative comes forth that makes sense and seems to explain that, we go, oh, that makes sense. Oh, they were, you know, in the case of Columbine, they were bullied, and they were bullied by jocks. It had nothing to do with that. They weren't targeting the jocks. But we come up with this explanation, and then we go that. And then national policy is based on, oh, well, we have these anti-bullying campaigns after Columbine, because Columbine was all about these two bullied kids who lashed back from bullying. Well, no, bullying is a problem, but that doesn't seem to be what was driving those killers. And we completely ignored the fact that depression is what the Secret Service has determined is driving most of these killers. And yet we've done nothing about that. We focused on the wrong things, and so we've addressed the wrong cure to the wrong problem. And we continue to do that.
Dave, you just pointed out that coming up with these answers to why something like this happened can lead us towards trying to solve the wrong problem. How can we avoid doing that in this particular case?
The biggest thing we can do is avoid speculation. The truth is, we're going to get some facts wrong. And because witnesses are mistaken, they're confused, things get transposed. You know, we saw with the Ebola patient, it wasn't 103 fever, it was 100.3. Honest mistake. We all know how those sorts of things happen. So with shootings, too, it's sort of a fog of war situation. Some facts are going to be misreported. The good news is on those that most what I would call the what facts, anything sort of about the details of the particulars, those we can correct, those don't have a lasting impact. They're not seared into our memories. What sticks in our mind like chewing gum once it's in there is an answer to the question. It's a storyline that explains this. So anything that deals with the explanation, which is the why question, those are the ones that we in the media have to be incredibly careful about. So when we don't really have any information or much information about why, there's this natural tendency to try to answer it anyway, to come up with scenarios, and we need to avoid that. Because as soon as we start speculating on television or on radio or in print about this might have happened, this probably happened, it seems to me, or going down paths, sort of leading the witness toward, all those things lead us to conclusions, and that's what we have to be really, really careful about. You can hear lots of tidbits of people have different ideas. Everybody has a different perception of this guy, and we sort of have to wait till we get the full picture before we start, you know, take everything with a grain of salt.
One of the things that you mention on your website that you learned while researching what happened at Columbine is that it takes communities a long time to heal from something like this, from a shooting like this. What do you think healing looks like for these families in a scenario like this?
Well, it looks different for everyone. I think that's the most important thing to remember. At Columbine, they had an on-site counseling session at the school that any students could take advantage of. They expected sort of, and they tracked their usage of how many kids came in every day. They expected it to sort of like peak at the beginning and gradually, you know, go down. It didn't work that way. the usage actually went up and up and up. It continued to actually peaked at the 6 month out. And then it stayed at that same level for another year and a half, so for the first 2 years. I asked one of the counselors who led that, you know, why are that six, those people first coming in for the first time, 6 months out, what's going on there? And she said, for a lot of people, it's they've tried everything else. They thought they could do it themselves. They thought they could do it to their family and friends, whatever. They've tried every technique. They finally surrender and realize they need help. And then they come in. But everybody's got a different time frame. And some people want it the day after. Some people don't need it for a year. They're not ready. So it's really, really important to let, you know, if you're close to one of these people, let that person drive their own healing, to set their own agenda, their own pace. And there's no particular right way to grieve. Everybody's different, and that's okay. They can go about it differently, but they don't want to be rushed. Please, please, please do not rush them.
That's Dave Cullen, a journalist and author of the book Columbine. He spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.